So as we come to this chapter in God's Word, shall we pray? And let's pray that God would bless us and would speak to us. Father, how good it is to gather together with the family of God, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to sit under your feet, to learn from your word. And we just pray that our hearts and minds would be stirred today, and you would strengthen us and you would equip us to live for you and serve you. Lord, you know all the distractions in our hearts today. Help them now just to lay them down and to listen to you with real attention now. May your Holy Spirit come and teach us your people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, let me start with a little bit of film trivia. Has anyone seen the 1985 thriller called Witness with Harrison Ford? Anyone seen that? Hands up, don't be embarrassed. Well, at least four or five of us. Well, that's great, isn't it? So there's a great scene that Harrison Ford, he's playing an inner city cop from Philadelphia, and he's investigating a murder, and he finds himself in an Amish community in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania. So hence the Amish hat and the shirt. And this very cynical, world-weary cop slowly begins to appreciate the rather slower, different way of life from that Amish community. And there's a great scene when the whole community comes together to build a barn for the local farmer. And it's called the barn-raising scene. And it's a wonderful scene of how a community can come together to work on a project. Some people are sawing the timber, other people are constructing the barn, others are providing the food for the hungry workers. No one is left out in this Amish community. It is, if you like, a very harmonious picture of a local community cooperating on a project in their local town. And I'm guessing today that this is pretty much the picture of what we have in Exodus 35. God's chosen people, the Israelites, are in the wilderness before they come to the promised land of Canaan. And God is with them. He guides them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But God wants to be with his people in an even closer, more loving and intimate way. He wants to actually dwell with them so they will have his presence with them on their wilderness wanderings. And therefore, over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about this portable tent of meeting, the tabernacle which God has designed for his people. And those are some of the things we've been thinking about that the Israelites have been making. We thought about the Ark of the Covenant that would rest in the most holy place. And God would be with his people between the cherubim on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. We've seen the table of bread, the golden lampstand. We've seen the figure of the high priest. And they all lead us to Jesus. He fulfills all these things of the old covenant in himself. All these echoes and patterns we find the true purpose and meaning in Jesus. For he is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is our great high priest who sacrifices himself on the cross. He is God in human flesh and blood, who makes God's presence real to us. At the beginning of John's gospel, it says that Jesus pitches his tent among us. On another translation, he tabernacled amongst us. All these details we've been thinking about in the book of Exodus provide the foundations to understand Jesus better. Who he is and why he's come. And that chapter that was very bravely read for us this morning by Mike is a wonderful catalogue. It's full of richness and colour. There's gold and precious stones. There's colourful embroidered cloth. There's oils and spices. All these things gathered in together for the construction of the tabernacle and its furnishings. Now you might be thinking, how did those Hebrew slaves have so much of this stuff in the first place? How did they have all these riches as they wandered in the desert? Well, the answer to that is given in chapter 12 of Exodus. After the plagues, if you remember, and the final plague, the death of the firstborn throughout Egypt, the Egyptians were sick to the back teeth of the Israelites and simply wanted them to go. And this is what it says in chapter 12. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. And here's the thing. The Israelites did not keep these riches from Egypt for themselves. They freely gave of these things to the Lord's work in making the tabernacle. Now let me ask you a question. If you were those Israelites, would you not think you deserve to keep them to yourself? After years of being a slave, of being whipped, of being scourged, of being forced to work for nothing, would you not think you deserve some of the riches of Egypt? But here we see people, the whole people of God, who lay them at God's feet and work together for his glory and for his goodness. So the first thing we see in this chapter is that there's a willingness to serve God. If you have your Bibles open again, let's look at a few Bibles. So chapter 35, page 84. Who's actually doing this work? Well, verse 5, it tells us, whoever is of a generous heart, bring the Lord's offering. Then verse 21 again says, and they came, everyone whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, brought the Lord's offering. Verse 29, all the Israelite men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. So in some sense here, we have an open-handedness towards God. There's a sense of generosity, a sense of everyone in this together, all giving towards God. This is not obligatory. This is not mandatory. This is completely voluntary. It is not done under pressure. So this whole chapter, if you like, is a scene of joyful, generous willingness to give. If Israel wants to know God better, if they want to experience the presence of God with them, then they're going to be prepared to give sacrificially. They could have said to themselves, I deserve this. I deserve a bit of luxury and wealth. I'll keep it for myself. But they came together with a common voice and a common purpose. They were more concerned about God's glory and God's reputation than their own personal comfort and security. The Apostle Paul wrote about the same attitude of heart in 2 Corinthians 9. And he tells the Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful giver today? And I suppose as we think about ourselves as a church family for a moment, some of you were there at the presentation on Thursday night about our Inspire reordering project. And I think this year, 2023, will be a hugely strategic and important year for the whole church family. There's our project. We have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to work together as a body to fund this project that is God's will for this church. Not out of a guilt trip, not out of a mistaken sense of duty, but out of a deep sense of willingness and gratitude to God. We too recognize that just like the Israelites, all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. That's what we say every single week when the collection plate is taken. It's not so much us giving our money, we are giving back to God what he's already given to us in the first place. So I'm going to suggest today that these people in Exodus, the Old Testament Israelites, are a good model and pattern for us to follow. Sitting here today, we are also God's pilgrim people. We are journeying through this world until we reach our promised land, our final rest in heaven. Will we follow the example of our spiritual ancestors, and will we work together as one body for the glory of God? Or will we hoard away the treasures of Egypt for ourselves? Now, it's worth noting that in the next chapter, which we're certainly not going to have time to read, there is more than enough given for the construction of the tabernacle. It says in the next chapter, so all the skilled workers who were doing all the work in the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. And then Moses gave an order and sent this out throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more. That's probably not what the PCC and the treasurer will say to you. Don't give us any more, we've got enough. That's unlikely, but that's what happened in this scenario. They were just overflowing with generosity and goodness. So in all this chapter, there's an extraordinary willingness to give. But let's cast our mind back to the beginning of the service. We read some really familiar words from 1 Corinthians 12, all about being part of the body of Christ. Now today, sitting in this church, we're not just individuals who happen to share the same Christian hobby. We all have a unique role and place to play within the body of Christ. Sitting here today, no one is any more important than anyone else. We are all part of a whole. Each one of us uniquely made in the image of God with extraordinary gifts and talents to use for the whole body. We've all been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. And I'm always amazed in this church by just how many people work behind the scenes. Those up front and those behind closed doors. Some work with adults, some with children. Some in finance and administration. Some clean, some polish. Some work in the churchyard, some in the cottage. Some are on the PCC, some are on the Deanery Synod. And so the list goes on. Perhaps our holiday club is a really great example. Last year we were able to serve 77 children with a team of 34 volunteers. It's an amazing symbol, if you like, of how God's people can work together on a project. And look at the variety in our reading of who was involved. Verse 4, Moses said to all the congregation of the Israelites, all of them. Verse 22, so they came both men and women. And then verse 25, every skilled woman spun with her hands. Everybody had something to bring. Then the leaders even get involved. Verse 27 says, and the leaders brought onyx stones and gems. And verse 29 again, all the Israelite men and women. It was one body with many parts. But did you notice in our reading there's two special people who are mentioned? Verse 30, I think it is. One is called Bezalel, son of Uri. And there's another one, Oholiab, verse 34. These are men who have extraordinary skills in craft, design, artwork. They have the ability, verse 34, also to teach others. And did you realize that this is the first time in the Bible that it says that anyone is filled by the Spirit of God? First time that somebody is filled with the Spirit. And it's not to teach, it's not to preach, it's not to do a mighty deed of bravery. No, they're filled with the Spirit to make artistic designs for the tabernacle. That's how important the worship of God is. They're filled with the Spirit to work on the art and design for the tabernacle and its furnishings. I think here's an important concept in the Christian life. When God calls us to do something, he also equips us and strengthens us. If God has called you a particular office, or ministry, or role, he will equip you. He will help you to do that task. And I wonder if Christians, do we always recognize the place of art and craft in serving and worshiping God? It's not as if there's some really spiritual gifts, like leading Bible studies and preaching, and then there's other non-spiritual gifts. No, the Spirit gives us help in all the ordinary tasks of living for him. The Spirit helps us as we clean, as we sweep, as we mow, as we count the collection, as we do all these things. There's not some spiritual tasks and non-spiritual tasks. We're all in this together with the Spirit. And I wonder this morning, do we all recognize our place, our role, our gifting in the local church? There's place for everyone. Serving in the local church is not just for a small clique of the in people or for those with nothing better to do. If we're all part of the body of Christ, we all have a unique place and unique role. For we're all called to worship and to serve. Romans 12, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's not about being a consumer, going to church expecting to get something back, though that might be part of it. It's not just a pastime or a leisure interest. We are to be a living sacrifice. It's not about making money for this church. It's not about making money for the Church of England. It's because we're thankful for all that God has done for us in Christ. We want to see Jesus' name lifted up in this land. We want to see him high and exalted, not us, not St. Lawrence Church. We want to see God's kingdom come and his will be done. So this morning, when the collection plate comes round, we're not asking you to take off your gold signet rings, your earrings, and your jewelry and put it into the pot. We have an even greater and more glorious task. Together, we're called to serve Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who came and tabernacled amongst us. The one who came and brought heaven to earth. The one who poured out his life for us. And our prayer, especially this year, a really important year in the life of the church, that we need to lay our differences aside. We need to be willing. We need to be together in the body of Christ, working together that God would be glorified amongst us and that we would be salt and light in this community and in the places around us. And I pray we will draw together in that mission and in that opportunity. Shall we pray? All the Israelite men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work the Lord had done. And I pray, Father, that we would be men and women whose hearts have been moved, who are willing to serve you, to lay everything at your feet. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful picture in your word. May we learn the lessons today. May we find our place in the local church to serve you and to minister to others. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is on all your people. Please guide us. Show us what we can do for you. So we just thank you, Lord, that there's many parts, but there is one body, and Christ is head of all. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.